all-powerful, untamable. You took before you know you humbly the slave. You are amazing, God. Welcome to Asbury. We welcome you to worship this morning. Let me apologize for a minute just saying my bifocals aren't working too well. And so if I say the wrong words that are on the screen, you just read the screen and I'll catch up to you. Who has told every lightning bolt where it should go? Or seen heavenly storehouses laden with snow? Who has imagined the sun and gives source to its light? Yet conceals it to spring forth a coolness of night. None can fathom, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees and we humbly proclaim, you are amazing, God. Who imagined the sun and gives source to its light, yet conceals it to bring forth the coolness of night. Indescribable, uncontainable, you place the stars in the skies and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees and we humbly proclaim, you are amazing, God. Indescribable, uncontainable, you place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. Incomparable, unchangeable, you see the depth of my heart and you love me the same. You are amazing, God.
Good morning, Asbury. I invite you to sit down for just a moment, and just so good to see you, and thank you. I know you all have had big 4th of July weekends, and I just thank you for having Christ and worship of our Lord here as a part of your weekend, making that choice, that intentional focus, and we as a body of Christ need one another. We need one another. We need to glorify God together. That's what it's all about. And I'm so glad to see you here. Special welcome to our visitors today. We'll give you just a moment to greet one another. But let me just, if I may, call attention to a few announcements here in the bulletin. If you'll notice, I don't know, when I read the youth news, I get exhausted. I mean, Amy has got them doing something all the time, but then that's that age. Yes, praise be to God. I mean, they've already done one OMP, they're headed to another OMP, they've got Daytona Beach coming up, and I mean, every Tuesday our young people are doing some service project around the community and then going to see, I'm sure, a very age-appropriate movie afterwards. So I'm just so excited about all the wonderful ministry she has going on and has the children, the youth engaged in. So you'll just take notice of those things. And then in my hand, you may notice what I've got in my hand, the Pop Tops. Now, in our home, we don't drink a lot of soda, but juice cans have the little pop-top things. V8 juice that's so healthy for you. It has the pop-top things. So if you're not big soda drinkers, you might think of other wonderful things to drink that are good for you. Let me say that. And be sure and save little pop-tops and bring them in a baggie or something, and you'll find various containers throughout the church, different Sunday school areas and throughout the church. So be sure and do that because that's our mission of the month. You'll notice over there, there's a depository right there for you to put them in. So, enough about the announcements. I, again, am so glad to see you here. Welcome to Asbury. Let's greet one another, won't we? Oh. I've got flying.
Did you know that Dr. Sullenberger died this morning?
No. Oh, okay.
Ready? One, two. Join with us as we sing Rock of Ages. There is no rock, there is no God like our God. The name worthy of all our praise. The rock of salvation, I cannot be moved. He's proven himself to be faithful and true. You are my rock, there is no God like us. There is no rock, there is no God like our God. Cease to worship you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for this nation that you have helped build in our hearts and in our lives. We thank you for our founding fathers. We thank you for all of our military men and women who have served to protect our right to worship you. And we thank you for coming in and being with us and sending your spirit to worship with us. We ask this in your blessed and holy name. Amen. You may be seated. This is the time when we have our children's moments, although we're not going to ask the children to come forward because we have a very special presentation that we will play on the video. Many years ago, in 1969, Red Skelton was a comedian on the TV and in movies and just a wonderful guy. And in one of his shows, you can almost tell it was planned by the producers, but the audience didn't have a clue, and you'll see that. They think he's still trying to be funny, but he's talking about our Pledge of Allegiance in the middle of this.
But I had this one teacher. He was the principal of the Harrison School in Vincennes, Indiana. To me, this was the greatest teacher, a real sage of my time, anyhow. He had such wisdom, and we were all reciting the Pledge of Allegiance one day. And he walked over, this little old teacher, Mr. Laswell was his name. Mr. Laswell, and he says, he says, I've been listening to you boys and girls recite the Pledge of Allegiance all semester, and it seems as though it's becoming monotonous to you. If I may I recite it and try to explain to you the meaning of each word? I, me, an individual, a committee of one, pledge, dedicate all of my worldly goods to give without self-pity. Allegiance, my love and my devotion to the flag, our standard, O glory, a symbol of freedom, wherever she waves, there's respect, because your loyalty has given her a dignity that shouts, freedom is everybody's job. United, that means that we have all come together. States, individual communities that have united into 48 great states, 48 individual communities with pride and dignity and purpose. All divided with imaginary boundaries, yet united to a common purpose, and that's love for country. And to the Republic, a state in which sovereign power is invested in representatives chosen by the people to govern. And government is the people, and it's from the people to the leaders, not from the leaders to the people. For which it stands. One nation, meaning so blessed by God, indivisible, incapable of being divided, with liberty, which is freedom, the right of power to live one's own life without threats, fear, or some sort of retaliation, and justice, the principle or qualities of dealing fairly with others. For all. Which means, boys and girls, it's as much your country as it is mine. And now, boys and girls, let me hear you recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Since I was a small boy, two states have been added to our country, and two words have been added to the Pledge of Allegiance, under God. Wouldn't it be a pity if someone said that is a prayer? And that would be eliminated from schools, too.
Jim Ed, would you join us up front? We are going to now say with us, and the Christian pledge to the flag is in your bulletin. It also will be on the screen.
Pledge allegiance to the Christian flag, the Savior for whose kingdom it stands. One Savior, crucified, risen, and coming again with life and liberty to all who believe.
It's so wonderful that we can be in a place where we do have the freedom to pray together, to worship together, to lift one up another in prayer. In your bulletin, you saw that we want to especially lift up on this Sunday in the United Methodist Church those churches and pastors who are welcoming one another for their very first Sunday. So let us be in prayer that God has brought together very capable spiritual leaders and vital, wonderful congregations that together they do wonderful ministry for Christ. I also have just been told of the passing of one of our members, Dave Sullenberger. Let us be in prayer for Patty and the family. Let us go to God in prayer. Most loving Father, again we thank you that you have given us the gift of prayer, that we can articulate what is on our hearts, what is on our minds. And yet, because you are God, you know that it is there. But you love it when your children come to you and speak to you and share with you, just as families do. And God, we do pray for, again, those churches and pastors, whether it be their first Sunday together or their 150th Sunday together or more. Working together, as we thought about how our country worked together to form our laws, our pledges, all of these things, it takes communication, clarity, articulation, and unity of spirit for one desired goal: peace and productivity. May those things always be grounded in love for you and love for one another. For those are the greatest commandments our Lord taught us. And as we are in prayer for our nation today, in thanksgiving for those who keep us free, we also are in prayer for those whom this holiday has been a time of grieving, because they've lost a loved one or they're watching a loved one slip away. So God, we just lift up these families, the Sullenberger family and others, who are spending this holiday weekend in precious hours. And Father, we thank you that we can come to you and know that we are a forgiven people because we believe in Jesus Christ as not only Lord of our lives, but Savior of our souls. And it's in this spirit of thanksgiving and confession that we offer the prayer he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We invite our ushers to come forward as we continue to remember the many ways that we can offer our gifts and the wonderful ministries that they provide. Let us pray. Most gracious God, it is with thanksgiving in our hearts that we offer these gifts to you. We're thankful for abilities to work, for energy to thrive and produce, And we thank you for the bounty of blessings that you so freely bestow upon our lives. And all you ask is for a small portion. So God, may we give this with abundance of heart and spirit and being thankful for the ways that you will use them to grow your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, sometimes my life just don't make sense at all. When the mountains look so big and my faith just seems so small. So hold me, Jesus, 'cause I'm shaking like a leaf. You have been King of my glory. Won't you be my Prince of Peace? And I wake up in the night and feel the dark. It's so hot inside my soul. I swear there must be blisters on my heart. So hold me, Jesus, 'cause I'm shaking like a leaf. You have been King of my glory. Won't you be my Prince of Peace? Surrender don't come natural to me. I'd rather fight you for something I don't really want than to take what you give that I need. And I beat my head against so many walls. Now I'm falling down, I'm falling on my knees. And this Salvation Army band is playing this hymn. And your grace rings out so deep, I think my resistance is so thin. So hold me, Jesus, 'cause I'm shaken like a leaf. You have been King of my glory. Won't you be my Prince of Peace? I'm singing, hold me, Jesus, 'cause I'm shaken like a leaf. You have been King of my glory. Won't you be my Prince of Peace? You have been King of my glory. Won't you be my Prince of Peace?
Amen. So thankful today for Dusty and Stephen and Scott and Wayne. Just so thankful. And we need to lift up Lanier because she was planning to sing with us but had throat problems this morning. So just appreciate our band so much. This morning, just reading one verse from the Bible. I always enjoy holding my Bible and reading it. It reminds me, even though I could look it up on my phone and all those other ways that we have handy now, I like picking up the Bible because it represents the heritage. It represents the promise and the hope that has survived all of these ages as I think about the people who were a part of pulling this wonderful Bible together and all of the traditions. So I just share that with you. But from Galatians, the 5th chapter, the first verse, I offer this to the people of God that you might receive the hope and the promises of God. For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand fast, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. This is the word of God for the people of God. Atop the hill in Washington, D.C., you will find the U.S. Capitol building. And on top of the dome of that building is a statue. The statue is known as the Freedom Lady. It stands some 20 feet tall. And as you look closely to its face, it's encircled in a wreath of stars. Holding in her left hand is the shield of the Stars and Stripes. Sculpted in Rome, the lady came to America across the Atlantic Ocean in the midst of a horrific storm. The captain ordered the crew to help lighten the load to start getting rid of the heavy cargo. As the crew was about to toss the statue, the captain stopped, refused for them to do so, shouting, "No, never, we'll flounder before we throw freedom away." And so freedom was saved due to the demands and courage of one man who set out to preserve freedom. For me, one word really speaks to me and describes both country and faith, and that word is freedom. When I think about right now in this moment, and in ages past, and most likely ages to come, there are people risking their lives, giving their lives so often, that you and I might be free. And how that happens over and over again for our freedom in this country. And then I think about also the price paid in love by our Lord and Savior that He gave once and for all so that our sin would die a final death. Freedom. To me, in America, it's evolved in three ways. The first way seems to be with the freedom of religion. In 1787, our Constitution was written and sent for ratification to the states. And in the process of that ratification, the people wanted a guarantee for specific freedoms. And those freedoms, as we know them, became the first 10 as the Bill of Rights. Some of those I will share with you. The freedom of religion, the freedom of speech, the freedom of the press, the freedom to gather in a peaceable assembly, and other freedoms which we enjoy. And I hear Paul's words in Romans 13:4, "The government is God's servant working for your good." The first freedom evolved with the Revolutionary War and the Declaration of Independence. We embrace and we celebrated this weekend. The second freedom that I've noticed that's evolved is kind of tricky. It seems like we've evolved from the freedom from our culture. Let me elaborate on that just a moment. Over the years, especially it seems over the last 40 or 50 years, we have seen a real change in freedom. There have been several much-needed healthy freedoms that have come about, such as civil rights, such as equal rights, women's rights, and many other freedoms that have come about through justice movements. But for many Americans today, freedom has come to be known as freedom from any kind of restraint whatsoever. Such regard for this interpretation of freedom brings me back to the Old Testament. In the book of Judges, the 21st chapter, the 25th verse, "At that time there was no king in Israel," the scripture says. "People did whatever they wanted to do." somewhere along the road of this freedom. Many Americans have fallen into, it almost seems like, a mass confusion, needing a persuasive reminder that the Bill of Rights could just as likely be a reminder to be the Bill of Responsibilities. While some Americans are living in the second phase, this freedom from our culture, they seem to be seeking a freedom which affirms whatever they feel like doing. Can you imagine an utter chaos if we all just did at any given moment anything we felt like doing? And thirdly, I pray for an evolution of freedom, which brings us to a freedom of opportunity for outreach. While our freedom takes us back to America's birth and on to today, my freedom and my hope is that we would join together in a freedom of outreach and opportunity where we intentionally, purposely connect others to Jesus Christ, whom we believe is the source of our ultimate freedom. Jesus said himself in John 8:36, "So if the Son sets you free, know that you are absolutely free." In the movie The Patriot, there's a fictitious character named Benjamin Martin. He and his family are involved in the American Revolution, and they paid a heavy price. And the movie begins with the opening credits and Benjamin Martin's line saying, "I have long feared that my sins would return to visit me." Martin had fought in an earlier battle with the French and the Native Americans, and he was haunted by some of the things that he had to do, that he did. And so later on in now this new war, he and his sons find themselves engaged in battle. And early in the movie, he loses his young son to a conflict, the enemy approaching his own land. And the young son is killed in a mock kind of way. And later on, the older son is killed in the heat of battle. And you hear Martin repeat the line, "I have long feared that my sins would return to visit me." As we think about our own lives, our own struggles and battles, have you ever thought to yourself about a sin or two that tends to haunt you, and how much you would just dearly love to forget it, and how much you greatly hope it has been forgiven? Well, here's some good news, and it comes from the book of Galatians. Paul affirms how Christ's death takes away that fear and how God provides lasting forgiveness and restoration in knowing Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Galatians 5:24, "Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. We now live by the Spirit, and we must keep step with the Spirit." I think about what Jesus said about the Spirit, that you never know when it will come, when it will go, but it's always there. And in my preaching and in my teaching and in my speaking and in my visiting, please know I'm always counting on the Spirit to come through, because I'm so limited. The Spirit is limitless. As we celebrate our nation's freedom this weekend, I think about the result of the freedom that we have in Christ. And I look at a trinity of freedoms that are our gifts. The first one is God has a rest for what he has done for you. We are called to rest, don't you see, in what God has done for us. Many of you may have been following the state news and know that there was an escape in Jefferson County. The facility that the prisoner escaped from is 6 miles from where we live. We've been on alert. But I thought about this prisoner. On the run, the prisoner has only, to me, escaped from one prison, waiting for another. The prison of fear. For in recapture, his life will be worse than it was before. New charges will be added, new fears coming about, longer time served. And as I think about that prisoner, like that prisoner, our own attempts at trying to escape our fears really becomes a prison. Until we finally accept the freedom that Christ gives us to abolish all fear. Amen? To abolish all feeling of captivity. The freedom given when we believe in the power of Christ's love in the crucifixion. And the power of God in raising His Son. The hope of our own resurrection. Our hope of eternal life. And the second trinity of freedom I think about is responding with a life, again, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And when I think about that kind of freedom, I think of freedom like a kite. Understanding is a bit like understanding the flying of a kite. If the wind is strong, a kite will soar. As the wind grows stronger, it goes higher and higher. As the string becomes tighter, the image of the kite seems smaller and smaller against the sky. But as we know, if the string breaks, the kite is free. And what happens? It begins to tumble and swirl and tumble and swirl until it finally crashes or becomes entangled in the limbs of a tree. Isn't it interesting that what keeps the kite airborne is the restraint of the string? Without that, the kite is unable to fly. We are never free until, ironically, we are restrained by something or someone who will take us higher. What a joy. In our Christian faith, it's not the absence of restraint, again, ironically, that makes us free, but it's the connectedness that we enjoy in knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord. That's the real freedom, thanks be to God. Because as Paul continues in Galatians 5, he tells us what the real freedom is. And it's the freedom of the fruit of the Spirit. And you know them well. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, and self-control. We've been freed by the peace that God has given us. Free by what God has done for us in Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And finally, the third of the trinity of freedoms is we have been freed with a task. And that task is to become a contagious Christian. God has placed us in this space and time to give us real freedom to go out of these walls and to be contagious in our excitement and love for Christ. When was the last time you found yourself in that posture? Of being excited and wanting to spread the love you have, the joy you have, that you are a saved soul, that you know Jesus, that you can go to Jesus with anything. He will not look down at you. He will not judge you. He will not criticize you. He will only hear you and love you through it. Do do you know of anyone else in this world that will do that? As much as spouses, friends, and family may love us, when they hear something that's a little traumatic, a little shocking, that registers. With Christ, it's absorbed and moved forward in His grace. Ask yourself where you are in your faith. But don't allow your faith to be taken so seriously that you're robbed of the joy of your faith. But likewise, don't take it so lightly that you can't discover the deep joy that faith in Christ can offer you. As this country was founded on religious freedom and shall be preserved to practice religious freedoms, I pray that you will join me in helping others to discover the freedom in Christ. Those aren't just mere words or a glimpse of a scripture in Galatians. To be free in Christ is to experience a freedom like no other freedom can be offered to you. The country can't offer this kind of freedom. May we be excited enough to share it with someone who has not experienced it yet. Pray for them, pray with them. Offer help and hospitality wherever you see that you can. Invite someone to church. Encourage them to worship. Speak with them about the freedom that you have in Christ. And show them what freedom has done for you in Christ. It's allowed you to love a stranger. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's prepare our hearts and minds for the sacrament of Holy Communion. Christ our Lord invites to His table all who love Him and who earnestly repent of their sins and seek to live in peace with one another. And so there, let us join together as we confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved You with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done Your will. We have broken Your law. We have rebelled against Your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to You, Father, Almighty Creator of heaven and earth. And so with Your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise Your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of Your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are You and blessed is Your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of His suffering, death, and resurrection, You gave birth to Your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which He gave Himself up for us, He took the bread, gave thanks unto God, broke the bread, gave it to His disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is My body which is given for you. Do this as often as you do in remembrance of Me." And after the supper was over, our Lord took the cup. He gave thanks unto God. He gave it to His disciples, and He said, "Drink ye all of this, for this is My blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink it as often as you do in remembrance of Me." And so in remembrance of these mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. In the United Methodist Church, all are welcome to come forward and to share in the sacrament of Holy Communion. If you care to have a gluten-free wafer, we have those available if you'll just ask the assistant for that. And also, you'll notice a place here in the middle if you have an offering that you'd like especially to go into the communion fund. It does reach the needy in our community. So I'd invite those who are going to assist to please come forward at this time.
Which mar the
chosen one. Bring many sons to glory. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid a ransom.
Would you join with me, please, in the closing collect? Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us stand and sing our closing song. If there are those here today who would like to unite with this church in any of the ways we receive members, if you feel a real calling to profess Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, or feel like you need to renew that profession, we invite you to come forward. Or if you'd like to pray, please reach out the hand to someone and let us pray together.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
is such a wonderful thing to worship with you today. And as you go out today, I hope that you will really intentionally share some amazing grace with someone. And I've got a little something for you that I've got the ushers and children helping me with. You all go home with a sparkler, because I want us to give the spark of Christ. Yes, I know that's corny, but I want us to give the spark of Christ. Well, that's not corny, but you know to say it's corny. To someone that you meet this week. Now, as an instruction, please don't light it till you're off the church campus. And please, if you see a child with a sparkler, make sure they're not running or gouging one another's eyes out. Now, that's your responsibility. I just wanted to give you the gift and the reminder to share the flaming spirit with one another out in the world. Go in the peace of Christ. Amen.
My God, I